God, we once again, we do thank you for an opportunity to be here, to be together. We thank you for an opportunity to gather around your word, and we just pray that you just speak to us today. We want to hear from you, God. So please just invade this place, invade our hearts with your spirit, and illuminate yourself to us and show us who you are and who you would have us to be in that light. God, please move me completely out of the way. As I open my mouth, may you fill it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. As you can see, we are going to think about Thanksgiving today, specifically not turkey, but being thankful. Okay. As we all know, Thanksgiving's approaching. It is this week, right? Okay. Good. We all think about, you know, being thankful, and we think about, you know, eating lots of food with our family. And it's kind of ironic about Thanksgiving comes along with lots of family, because whose family is like perfect and everyone gets along? It's just this. Yeah, okay. Well, Tracy says yes. Congratulations for making us all feel bad. But, about being thankful today. And let's start with this text from Luke chapter 17. As Jesus continued on toward Jerusalem, he reached the border between Galilee and Samaria. And it's, you know, the geography here is, you know, just a marker. It's just a note for emphasis that he's going to this, he's in this region of Samaria. And as a lot of you know who've been here before, the Samaritan people were, and the Jewish people were completely polarized, okay? They hated each other. And it was, they were, you know, had shared heritage. There's lots of, you know, different ways of looking at how they came to be. But anyway, there's this region, and the Samaritan people were, you know, partially originally Jewish, but they looked at things, some things differently. They, some of their religious practices were, you know, somewhat different geographically and locationally. Some of the things they believed were a little different. They had some extra heritage mixed in. So they were pretty close. I mean, overall, in terms of a world scale or even a Mediterranean region scale, these two groups of people were very, very similar to each other. But in their own minds, they were the opposites. They hated each other, especially the Jewish people, especially hated the Samaritan people. Okay. They just did not get along. They looked at them as, you know, worse than infidels, right? They just completely did not like each other. But Jesus spent time in Samaria, and he spent time with Samaritans. And it, one of his most famous story, you ever heard the Good Samaritan story, right? That's the most shocking thing about that the hero of this story is a Samaritan, this hated Samaritan. But it's, anyway, that's where we are. That's a little bit of the background. It says, as he entered a village there, 10 men with leprosy stood at a distance, crying out, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." To these 10 men with these, you know, infectious skin diseases, which, you know, if you read the Bible, was kind of a big deal at the time. And also, you know, going back into the Torah and the law, there was lots of rules and regulations of how to handle these skin diseases as they cropped up, you know, mostly to keep them from, you know, spreading. But so these men with leprosy, even though, you know, no fault of their own to have this, these diseases, whatever they might have been, they were social outcasts. Okay. And as you know, Jesus had lots of contact with all sorts of social outcasts, including people with these infectious skin diseases. So these 10 men with leprosy stood at a distance crying out, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." He looked at them and said, "Go and show yourself to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed of their leprosy. So Jesus is saying, they cry out, and they cry out here, "Master," this epistata, this word in Greek only occurs in Luke. And every other occurrence of this word in the whole Bible, you have the disciples, the apostles, saying it to Jesus. But here you have these 10 men of leprosy crying out, "Master, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." They've recognized who he is at this time, you know, with this word. And he says, "Okay, go show yourself to the priest. You know, go let them examine you and prove that you are cleansed, and you can reenter society." And it says, as they went, they were cleansed of their leprosy. And one of them, okay, so this is a big deal. Okay, it's not like you're getting cleansed of a cold, right, or healed of a sprained ankle. This is when you had these diseases in this time. This means you were completely outcast socially. You had no contact with anybody, you know, because this was, you know, such a not only a social taboo but also a, you know, medical, you know, necessity to some extent. So as they were cleansed of this disease, it's not like they just got their, you know, their acne healed. Their lives were completely changed. Because this was a big deal to these 10 guys. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, came back to Jesus shouting, "Praise God." And he fell to the ground at Jesus' feet, thanking him for what he had done. But this man was a Samaritan. And Jesus asked, "Didn't I heal 10 men? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give glory to God except this foreigner?" And Jesus said to the man, "Stand up and go. Your faith has healed you." So you have these 10 individuals whose lives are completely changed for the better. They are healed. They are rescued. They can reenter society. They can have contact with their friends and family. They can be, you know, actual real citizens. Again, they're not outcasts anymore. But only one of them, you know, came back to say thanks, right? Only one recognized what had happened and then came back to express that to this itinerant rabbi, Jesus. And this one was the Samaritan. You know, this foreigner, this double outcast, this hated Samaritan. One of those people. And Jesus just kind of wondering, where are the others? Where are the others? Didn't I heal all of them? And no one returned to give glory to God except this foreigner. And Jesus said to the man, "Stand up and go. Your faith has healed you." You know, I think back over my life, I can definitely identify with some characters in this. And it's not either of these two. It is the other 9, right? You know, think back through my life about how much of everything, you know, that I've been gifted and how little gratitude I express for that, how little thanksgiving I have. And I can definitely identify with these 9 men who were completely, you know, just miraculously and completely healed. Their lives were completely, radically altered for the better. And they just go on about their business, right? That's kind of a challenging little story, isn't it? I want to think about what it means to be thankful. This is just a dictionary definition of thankful. It's conscious, being conscious of a benefit received. In other words, you just recognize that you have received some sort of a benefit, right? And you have, you know, cognizance, you have a mental recognition, you know, and you recognize that you have received a benefit. Who's ever received a benefit? I thought 4 people, 5 people. Okay. Manuel. No, Travis. You think back in our lives, the benefits we have received. How about being alive? Well, you didn't have to be born, you know, and you didn't have anything to do with that, right? You didn't have to be born into a world that was ruled by a good God. God did not have to be good. He is. It's being conscious of the benefits that we have received. And also, the other part of being thankful is not just recognizing that you have received benefits or that you have a benefactor or that you have received something good. But being thankful also means you're expressive of that gratitude. You know, you express that gratitude. You know, just like this guy. Not only did he, recognize that he was cleansed of his leprosy, just like the other 9, but he came back to express that to Jesus. So that's, you know, I think that's a pretty good definition of what it means to be thankful. Being conscious of something good in your life, and also being willing and being intentional about expressing our gratitude to each other, to other people, and to God. And who knows people who are just thankful in their hearts and in their spirits, right? Are those people like you want to be like or not? Huh? Yeah. You know, you can think we all know those people who just are, just have thankful hearts. In Psalm 107, it says, "Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His faithful love endures forever." Has the Lord redeemed you? Then speak out. Tell others He has redeemed you from your enemies, for He has gathered the exiles from many lands, from east and west, from north and south. You give thanks to God because, like I said, He is good. He didn't have to be. He didn't have to be. He didn't have to offer us chance after chance after chance. He didn't have to offer us grace. He didn't have to love us. He doesn't have to forgive us. He doesn't have to be that way. That's just the way He is. We read this out of Colossians 3 a lot here. There's several of these passages in the epistles in the New Testament who just kind of sum up what it means to be a Christian. It sum up what it looks like to follow Jesus. And it's not what you think. You know, it's not what I grew up thinking of being a Christian was about. This is what it means to be a Christian. This is what it means to follow Jesus. Since God chose you to be the holy people He loves, you must clothe yourselves with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. I realize as I read that, like, check, 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 check. Those are the things I don't have. Make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you so that you must forgive others. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. And let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. For as members of one body, you are called to live in peace and always be thankful. Doesn't that seem like a good way to live? I mean, is there anything not on that list that you would say, man, my life would be a whole lot better if I didn't have to, you know, be kind? This is why we say it's the best possible way to live. It's the way of Jesus is an invitation to the best possible life. And it's not about guilt, and it's not about heaping up religious commands. It's not about making you feel bad about who you are, who you were. It's an invitation to be better, to live better, to bathe yourself in this free grace of this God and to act like Him, because that is good. And a huge part of this is always be thankful. Let the message about Christ and all its richness fill your lives. Teach and counsel each other with all the wisdom He gives. Sing songs and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. And whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through Him to God the Father. So if I'm right, then when I say that this is kind of a summary of the Christian life, would you agree with that? As if you've been here? Yeah. What's a big part of that? Being thankful. And look how many times in this that's mentioned. That should be a huge marker, not only for being a Christian, but for living a good, full, joyful life. Huge part of the best possible way to live is being thankful, right? And as we think about you, we all know these people, like I said, who are just thankful people. And we know we want to be like those people in that respect, but it seems so hard and it seems so far away, right? Lots of this stuff. It seems like, you know, just pray that we just pray for God to make us more thankful. But I want to think about this. Always be thankful. It's It's a command. All of these are commands. All of these are, you know, this is a new law. These are new commandments. So being thankful is not a magic trick. Being thankful is not something we're giving. Being thankful is a choice. Just like loving people, just like being kind, just like all this stuff, being thankful is something that we choose to do. It's something that we are intentional about. So if we're not thankful, whose fault is it? It's mine. Right? So think about the thankful people in your lives. You know, think about, especially most of them have died by now, but that I can really think of. Were they thankful because they were magnificently rich? Or their life was perfect? No. They were thankful because that's who they were. They were thankful because that's who they wanted to be. They were thankful because that's who they chose to be. So let's go. Travis, can you get us an easel and a pen? So let's think about it. Think with an I, not an A. What should we be thankful for? Money, food. Okay, I guess we should have planned this ahead of time, but that's okay. The pressure is on Travis. Faster, Travis. Let's make a list. Be thankful. That's a very good point. That was, I know you were just kind of being a smart aleck when you said that. Some of the things I'm most thankful for are you guys, are the people in our lives. You know, our family in Christ. You know, including Travis. Who else is thankful for the group of, for the people in this room? You know, we were sitting back there doing the shoe boxes, and I told Shelly, I said, "Man, I just like the people in this room." never mind. But seriously, I know lots of people who don't have what we have, who don't have friends. You know? That's a big, big, big deal. And what we have here doesn't come along every day. And what we have here, sadly, isn't found in every house of worship. Yeah, so I'm thankful for Travis. What else are you thankful for?
For family.
Family. I'm thankful for most of my family. No, really.
Salvation.
Yeah, I'm very thankful for family. Yeah, for Christ and for the fact that salvation is free and I don't have to earn it because I couldn't have. That's the fact that God, like I've been saying, that God is good and he didn't have to be. What else?
Prayer.
Yeah. That you can, let's just put prayers, that you can talk to God and he wants you to do that. He wants you to relate to him. He wants you to communicate with him and carve out time and be with him. That's kind of a big deal. And sometimes, you know, it's his will to answer those prayers here where we can see it and know it, that that's what's going on. What else?
I'm thankful for the love of people in this church.
Yeah. For the love of the people here in this church. What about, who's thankful for this?
Yeah.
That's pretty cool that we're mammals.
And beach too.
two of them.
Yeah, yeah. And oxygen and water generally are free. You people have to pay for it here in town, I guess, for water. You know, it's pretty cool. I mean, this world's a pretty cool place. It, you know, definitely has its dark spots, and this life can be hard, but it's pretty neat that we're mammals, I think. What else?
Our awesome sermons and our worship team, our awesome worship.
Yeah, that's pretty cool to be here. Travis is smiley. I'm like, yeah. What else is there to be thankful for?
I'm thankful for money, and it's
yes.
because I have money.
Uh-huh.
Because I have money, I am able to help.
Yeah.
Have it. It does give you a security.
Yes, there is nothing wrong with being thankful for money. If you have money and you aren't thankful for it, there's something seriously wrong with that. People need resources. That's the way the world works.
Jobs.
Yeah. And with jobs, and you have the ability to work and earn those resources and to be a contributing member of our world, that's pretty daggone cool. Yes, and to be able to provide for your family and to be generous. We're going to get into that in just a second.
You already said it, but life.
Yeah, life. You didn't have to be alive, guys. And you didn't have a whole lot to do with that occurring. That's a gift. What else? Yeah, for health.
Every morning when we come to church, that Paul smiles and welcomes us.
Yeah, I'm thankful for Paul. Paul does a lot. I'm thankful for people. I'm thankful for Lisa, who recognizes people. You know, I'm thankful for all you guys. Just Travis and Paul, the only ones that get written down, though. What else are you thankful for? Food. Me too. Like I said, it's cool to be a mammal. And it's cool to be an omnivore. What?
Our critters.
Yeah, for animals and stuff. Yeah. You can eat them or you can pet them or both.
Yeah.
Me too.
Me too.
I love books. What else?
History.
I'm thankful that history is really cool. It's really cool. What else?
Romances.
I'm not thankful for those. I'm not going to write that down. I like music. Music's cool. Art. Yeah. Me too. Who said beauty?
Thankful that our country was smart enough to protect the Appalachian Trail from an early stage.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Thankful for the AT. It's really cool that we have beautiful things, that there is beauty in the world, and we can recognize it.
I'm thankful for all the babies I hear this morning.
Yeah, that's sweet, all right. Yeah. But you guess, I mean, from what else?
Democracy.
Huh? Democracy? Yeah, I guess it beats most of the alternatives, or all of them. I like shoes.
Emotions?
I like shoes. Yeah, I like shoes, and I like emotions. No, I mean, see, not only are we mammals, which is really cool, not only are we omnivores, which is awesome, but you go up, not only are we that, not only are we... Not only do we just observe nature, we are part of nature. We are, yeah, it's cool. It's cool to be a mammal. But we also have this level beyond that. We have this really, this amazing emotional self, an emotional world. Yeah, man, people are awesome. It is so awesome to be a person. I mean, really. Think about the alternatives.
Protection, John.
Yeah.
I think that
takes
us a lot
more. Yeah. And so we have, I like shoes, you know, the fact that we don't have to go around barefoot, that we have warm clothes, huh?
Our homes.
Our homes, yeah.
I like
electricity. Who said that? Yes, I am very thankful for electricity, and I'm not afraid to admit that. I would not want to be You know, our electricity was off for 2 or 3 hours of the day, and I left. I went to work. Forget this. I mean, really. It's cool.
Indoor plumbing.
Yes, indoor plumbing.
Water.
Yep. So you see, I think we could, and the first step, one step in being thankful is recognizing that we are the recipients of all these benefits. There are so many really, really cool things about being a mammal and being a human and being a person, about being a child of God, right? There's so much. And then the second part of that is expressing our gratitude for these things. So how would you, if you really are thankful for Travis?
Thank you, Travis.
Yeah. Yeah. He should know that, right? He should know that. You should let him know that. How would you let Travis know that? He could clap. Yeah. But it would be kind of weird to go throughout your life and just clapping for everybody. So, what are some ways? Lisa, give us some lessons. If you're thankful for someone, what can you do?
Make them some goodies.
Yes, I agree with that.
You can tell them.
Yeah, you can tell them. You could, yes, and you could tell them. Maybe give them something for real. Why in the world not? Let that person know that. You know, give them a hug. Just be with that person. Just let that person know if you were thankful for them. It's a big deal. All right. To be on the receiving end of that is a big deal. So I want you to, you know, I think a big part of being thankful is taking inventory and remembering how daggone good you have it, because it can be so easy to think about what you don't have or what you lack, or you know, especially when you're hurting or when you're in tough circumstances, you know, just to dwell. I'm not saying that we should not be realistic. We should not think about bad things ever. But instead of dwelling on the bad, I think we should take stock and take inventory and also remember the good and being thankful. And another part. Thanks, Travis. Whoa. And another part of thankfulness. Another practice of thankfulness is this in Psalm 107. Says, let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for mankind. And let them sacrifice offerings of thanksgiving and tell of his works with songs of joy. You know, one, you know, natural reaction to how we're wired, or how we should be wired, another choice that we make is when we are thankful for what we have, we are generous with that, and we give some of that away. In 2 Corinthians 9, it says, remember this, this comes in the context of this group of believers in Corinth, who Paul is telling them to bring some of their money to the church, not to put it in the offering plate, but to so they can build a big building, but to take this, they're gathering and collecting this money to send back to other believers who are having a really, really impossibly hard time, you know, suffering persecution back in Jerusalem, okay? So we're not talking about collecting tithes just for the sake of it. We're talking about this specific goal of helping these people. All right? It says, remember this, a farmer who plants only a few seeds will get a small crop, but the one who plants generously will get a generous crop. You must each decide in your heart how much to give, and don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure. For God loves a person who gives cheerfully. And God will generously provide all you need. Then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. As the scriptures say, they share freely and give generously to the poor, and their good deeds will be remembered forever. For God is the one who provides seed for the farmer and then bread to eat. In the same way, he will provide and increase your resources and then produce a great harvest of generosity in you. Yes, you will be enriched in every way so that you can always be generous. And when we take your gifts to those who need them, they will thank God. So two things will result from this ministry of giving. The needs of the believers in Jerusalem will be met, and they will joyfully express their thanks to God. As a result of your ministry, they will give glory to God, for your generosity to them and to all the believers will prove that you are obedient to the good news of Christ. And they will pray for you with deep affection because of the overflowing grace God has given to you. To thank God for this gift, too wonderful for words. So when we help other people, it says you are entering into this, you know, positive feedback loop, this vicious circle of goodness and thankfulness. So when you are able to share and to help another person, that person is thankful, thanks God for this answered prayer. You are playing a role in people's prayers being answered. And people are pouring themselves out in thankfulness for God, and they are praying for you. They're interceding for you. And it's just this, like I said, this vicious cycle, this vicious circle of goodness. Part of being thankful, part of actually being really and truly thankful is desiring to help other people. So, First and 2 Thessalonians 5, another one of these lists, this is another one of these summaries of the Christian life. To see that no one pays back evil for evil, but always try to do good to each other and to all people. Always be joyful. Man, how terrible this. I mean, think about how awful the Christian life is. Always be joyful. Never stop praying. And be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. Be joyful. Talk to me all the time. And be thankful. This is God's will for you. That is a beautiful life. And I truly believe that is that would be the best possible way to live. So let's choose that.